Welcome to the 9 to 10 show for this, the 14th day of February, and brought to you by Landscaper's Corner, located at 1305 Old Frankfort Pike. Landscaper's Corner has the largest selection of natural stone in our area. Call them at 225-9433. In addition to Valentine's Day, it's a Forensic Friday. That means Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson joins us this morning. Good morning, Ray.
Morning, Jack.
Did you do something nice for Betty?
I did.
You did?
I did. And I did it on the way home from Frankfort yesterday.
Yeah, what'd you do?
Well, I got... She likes potted plants. She doesn't like cut flowers.
Okay.
So I got some tulips.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I came out ahead on this deal.
Yeah, well, you married up, as we say.
Damn right.
Yes.
Yeah.
One guest is kind of new to the biz, and the other guest is kind of old to the biz.
A veteran.
Yes.
Right.
Tell us. Who
well,
we
one
have
thing.
With.
One thing I want to say. I listened to your interview with Rand Paul.
Yeah.
And before Rand testifies before that committee in Frankfort, he probably ought to come up with a better example than his friend of 30 years who got a felony conviction 30 years ago, because he could get his voting rights back. He could have gotten them back a long time ago. Just apply for them. But
so we don't need to change the Constitution of the state,
well,
in your opinion?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But he probably ought to have a better example, or somebody's liable to call him out on it in front of everybody in the TV cameras.
All right.
Today, we're talking about a case involving basically animal torture. If you want to get people fired up about anything, all you have to do is allege abuse of an animal or that sort of thing. And we prosecuted a case in our office involving that. And Alex Garcia, who is a relatively new prosecutor in our office, who comes to us from Los Angeles, is a guest today. Alex, glad you're here.
Good morning, Lexington.
From Los Angeles, huh?
Yes, sir.
And
born and raised.
What brought you to Kentucky? It's not the answer he gave me off the air, but go ahead. What brought you to Kentucky, Alex?
Family ties.
Yeah, he told me women off the air. Did you know that?
I heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Alex is making me proud.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have you here, Alex.
Thanks for having me.
And Larkin Walker, who is an intern with us, is here today. And she, her mother and father are longtime friends of mine.
Good morning, Larkin.
And Larkin thinks she's a star.
Yeah. Good morning.
Morning.
All right, so how long have you been interning?
This is my...
Get real close to the mic.
I think I've been here a month. So I'll be here for the rest of the semester until the end of April.
Excellent. Now tell us about the veteran that we have on
all
the phone.
Right. The other person on here hadn't been with us probably for several months now.
It's been a while.
Right. And it's Josh Marquis. He is the district attorney in Clatsop County, which is Astoria, Oregon, which is right there on the west coast on the Pacific Ocean. Beautiful.
So we have two left coast attorneys with us today.
Yeah.
How about that? Well, Josh.
Good morning.
Good morning. I understand we woke you up. What's the problem?
Well, no, you know, I'm always ready to talk to Ray at 5:30 in the morning.
We're glad to have you here. You haven't been on with us for a while.
That's true. I have not.
Well, we're glad you're here. What are we going to talk about today, Ray?
If we could, I'd like Josh to kind of tell us a little bit about the magnitude of crimes against animals and that sort of thing on a national scale, because you're a big deal in this humane society, and you've been identified as one of a half dozen of the leading prosecutors of animal abuse cases in the country. So tell us a little bit, give us a bigger picture of what this is all about.
Sure. Probably just in the last 20 years, there's been a recognition in the prosecution community and in the law enforcement community that crimes against animals are not just something that you have to be a vegetarian or a vegan to be cared about. I'm neither one of those. I like a good steak. But understanding that the kind of people who will, and we're not talking about somebody who just whacks their dog too hard on the back behind with the newspaper. We're talking about people who beat animals to death. We're talking about people who, in some cases, it's terrible animal neglect. what we sometimes call animal hoarding, which is almost a mental illness where people will have, and every community has stories about the cat lady or the dog lady who's got 150, 200 cats and dogs. And unfortunately, in most of those are cases of gross neglect. Now, not all these cases are the same. They range from people who get in completely over their head, and ironically, it causes both public safety hazards, as well as hazards to other animals and hazards to people, all the way up through incredibly vicious crimes, the kind that people cringe when they even hear about. People, and I wish these were hypothetical examples, who like saw the legs off a live dog or throw kittens into a bonfire because they think it looks cool. And one of the things we found for those of us who have also prosecuted a lot of murder cases is that at really high-end antisocial animal cruelty is also consistent with the kind of behavior that involves serious acts of violence towards women and children. And in fact, you get a certain pattern of people. It includes that if they have that kind of behavior, there's a good chance that they may be committing much worse crimes.
I heard years ago, and it may not still be the case, but I heard years ago, I knew a fellow that was a meat cutter. That's what he did for a living. And he worked in a slaughterhouse years ago in Ohio, and he could not serve on a jury because they said, in order to do what he does for a living, which is obviously legal, you couldn't have any compassion. So therefore, you weren't eligible to be a jerk.
I think that's ridiculous.
You do?
Simply not true.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure there are people that look at prosecutors and police officers and say, well, you couldn't possibly have any compassion because you sit there and argue for people to be dragged from the arms of their loved ones to go to prison. When we talk about animal abuse that's prosecutable, we're not talking about somebody engaging in farm practices or stunning a steer before it's turned into hamburger or leather. Mm-hmm. We're talking about real vicious cruelty. And like I said, I've talked to psychiatrists who say there's three things you always look for in a sexual sociopath, and they're bedwetting, which they call enuresis, pyromania, which means fire setting, and usually allurophobia, which is technically a rabid hatred of cats. And if you see those three characteristics together, you will always, if you find somebody who commits the kinds of sexual psychopathic crimes like Ted Bundy, serial killer, they always have those characteristics. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody who wets their bed turns into a sexual psychopath, but it does mean that every sexual psychopath has those three things in their background. So one of the tough things has been, for the 20, 30 years I've been doing this, is frankly, often these kinds of cases don't get taken seriously, even within our own profession. And it's only in the last 25 years that I've been doing murders that people go, wow, okay, you're a serious prosecutor. You actually asked for the death penalty and you do this. So maybe this isn't just a minor lifestyle choice. This is not a lifestyle choice. And in fact, as Ray can tell you, if you really want to get the community fired up about something, tell them about a really egregious animal abuse case, and people will come out of the woodwork writing you letters, sometimes having very unrealistic expectations.
One of the things that's happened, when we get a case involving animal abuse in our office, people pay attention to this all over the country. I get emails and letters and all of that kind of stuff from people all over the country telling me their eyes are on me. And so, Alex, let's go real quick to this case of Caminita Hale.
Yeah, well, Caminita Hale, and I just want to say that when I first got this case, kind of hit me on a personal level because I am a dog owner myself and a dog lover. And so when I read the facts of this case, it just really hit close to home. And in fact, I want to give a quick shout out to my dog, my beautiful blue heeler at home, Macho.
Is he listening?
Hope you're listening, buddy.
Okay, yeah. Before you go on, this is an excellent opportunity for us to take our first break. When we come back, we'll let you tell the story. 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T, toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590, or email jackpatty@wvlkam.com. It's 20 minutes after 9 o'clock. News Talk 590 WVLK, 25 after 9, and a couple of calls on hold. Let's go to the phones. This is Marcia. Good morning, Marcia.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, and I wanted to thank you, really thank you for having this issue on the air, because, you know, as great as much as I love Kentucky, we have such an abysmal animal welfare record, and this issue really is pertinent because right now in our legislature is House Bill 30. And we have tried to get this bill passed for years, and it has not passed. And what that does is it forfeits ownership of animals involved in cruelty and torture cases and prohibits ownership or possession of animals of the same species for 2 years. And in right now in the state of Kentucky, if someone does something as horrific as tosses a kitten in a fire and is convicted, they can go out and get another kitten. And
really? Are you kidding? They can go out and get another
kidding.
One.
This is House Bill 30,
wow.
Sponsored by Representative Krim. And I'm sorry I can't tell you exactly what committee it's in right now. But if people would talk to their legislatures of the House and tell them that right now we need this to go to a vote to get out of the committee so it can go for a vote to be passed. They tried to get this bill passed last year and it didn't work. And it's a common sense bill that people don't realize that in this state, if you are, and I'm talking torture or cruelty, you're right. I'm not talking about, you know, this isn't about the farm bill. You know, it's not a danger to anybody dealing with their livestock and, you know, or that issue. So,
Josh, do you have a comment for this lady?
Well, yes, I do have to tell you, I was on the board of the Animal Legal Defense Fund for about 10 years, and now I'm on the National Law Enforcement Council for the Humane Society of the United States, which is the largest animal welfare organization in the United States. And the brutal truth is that Kentucky has one of the worst records in the country for having tough and effective animals.
When the hell have we got Josh on here?
Yeah.
He's punking.
Well, in Oregon, if you are convicted of any animal abuse charge, you are forbidden from possessing companion animals, or if the court wants to specify horses or whatever other kind, for a minimum of 5 years.
Yeah. Now, and with us, you can go out and get them the next day. So,
well, and yeah. Of course, there's an infinite number, unfortunately, of abandoned dogs and cats, and yeah. There's lots and lots of grossly irresponsible owners. We can't criminalize, responsible pet ownership. Mm-hmm. And there's the only time that the justice system becomes involved is when people assume the care of an animal and either starve them to death, torture them, badly injure them, or don't provide them the most basic kind of care. That doesn't mean that people who still aren't, you know, are bad pet owners, what the criminal law is for.
I appreciate your call, Marcia. Thank you. Ray?
Okay, Alex, tell us about Kamanita Hale very quickly, if you would.
Yeah, quick rundown of the facts. Officers are dispatched to a domestic dispute. When they get there, they see Mr. Hale, who is threatening to off himself, commit suicide. A little standoff ensues. The officers are able to detain him. An investigation reveals that Mr. Hale had gotten into a fight with his mother over his mother calling him a bum. And that he needed to get a life and to get a job. That led him to say, "I'll show you, mother," and walk into the living room and decided to stab her Pomeranian three times. That led to his death, obviously. He then decided to run off to his ex-girlfriend's house to say his goodbyes, and then came back home, and that's when the officers found him.
And he wanted the police. He said he asked the police to shoot him. And that's the whole concept of
suicide by cop.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you had experience with that kind of thing, Josh?
Unfortunately, yes. Like I said, this is sort of a conscience-raising thing. A lot of people it's like child abuse. People do not want to believe that people commit these kinds of acts. And fortunately, it's not that commonplace, but it's often enough. And there really hasn't been enough support for law enforcement in many places. In my state's just in some ways just as culpable as Kentucky. There just hasn't been the support for it. And frankly, those of us who work in that area, either as prosecutors or police officers, sort of get ridiculed. And sort of, well, you're the dog deputy, you know, ha ha, we're gonna, it's just not considered serious enough. And I think it is, or it can be. As unfortunate as it sounds, if someone, for example, chooses to, let's say, put an animal down by shooting it in the head, that in and of itself is not cruelty to animals. Beating an animal to death, however, is, and frankly, it wouldn't matter whether you were carrying a badge or not. In fact, I've prosecuted lawyers for cruelty to animals, and you know nobody is immune from it. You know, not every animal gets to get put to sleep in a vet's office, with the syringe. But you know, I really do think things have changed a great deal. I think a lot of people now look at them and say, you know, if you're going to choose to own animals, whether they're companion animals or service animals or even farm animals, there's a certain level of just decency that you have to provide, a certain level of care. If you don't want to take that responsibility, then don't have interaction with animals.
I've got an email from Wayne that says, have recently read that many police departments have an unofficial policy to first shoot the dog as a preventative measure when making an entrance, or an arrest rather, at a house, whether the dog was a problem or not. Hopefully this is not the case in Lexington, but what training and policies do Lexington police have to deal with dogs, cats, and other pets when confronted? Do you know what the policy is?
I don't know, but that does not sound like anything that I've ever dealt with in my 2,000 years here.
All right, Jim, good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment that, you know, we make laws to protect frogs and salamanders, so why can't we make laws to protect our animals?
Well, we have them, don't we, Josh?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the question.
Laws to protect animals. We've got laws to protect animals, do we not?
Well, I mean, we do make laws to protect frogs and salamanders.
All right, I'm going to let you listen off the air, Jim. We are all talking at once. Thanks, Jim. Go ahead, Josh.
Yes. Every state has laws protecting animals. All of them have at least basic cruelty laws. Some states, most states now, actually, my state didn't get it till about 15 years ago, have felony cruelty laws for the absolute worst, torturing an animal to death. And I got to say, for all of the, one of your callers saying that somebody got 3 years in prison, if I heard correctly, for a particular vicious animal cruelty. In my state, even though we technically have a 5-year sentence, even the absolute worst criminal, we can't get more than 12 months in jail because of the way they, because frankly, our sentences are so lenient in our state. And frankly, when you talk to most people, they hear about somebody doing something really horrific. You know, sometimes not, they say, well, you know, the death penalty is too good for that person.
We're going to take a break. 253-5959. Touch star 590 from AT&T. We have about 4 minutes remaining in the hour in the program. Once again, Fayette County Schools dismissing 1 hour early today. Scott County, 1 hour early. Jessamine County dismissing 2 hours early. Ray?
Jack, we had a case some years ago that was really, it was an animal torture deal where somebody tied a string around the tail of a cat and tied the end of the string around the tail of another cat and then threw both of them over a clothesline and they commenced to basically scratch themselves to death.
What happened in the case, do you remember?
I don't. All I know is that one just kind of sticks in my mind.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Well, Josh, is this... you got another call.
No, we're good.
Okay.
We're good.
Where are we going on this issue? Because it seems to me... If you really want to get people fired up, all you have to do is allege animal abuse in a case, and the juries just really hammer people.
That's
your experience?
True. I'll close with my most recent case, and although I'm a district attorney, I'm in a much smaller office today, so I get to try more cases because I don't have to administer as much as Ray does. I had a man, a local businessman, and we live on the beach, as you say, who was running a dude ranch and offering rides on the beach. But I'm in a pretty rural county, and a lot of the people in my county are horsewomen, and they were
seen that about a half of this guy's herd was really severely malnourished and not getting medical care. So they called the local police department. We had some rodeo cow, ex-rodeo cowboys on it. We served the search warrant, arrested the guy, for not for deliberate cruelty, but for gross animal neglect. I had to hire a vet, a large animal vet from about 200 miles away because nobody local wanted to be involved in it. The case was so overwhelming that when I showed photographs of this one horse named Goliath, who was underweight by 50%, my 72-year-old large animal vet literally broke down and cried on the witness stand. The result was, after 3 days of trial on where the state presented its evidence, the defense came to me and said something I've only heard twice in my 32 years as a prosecutor, which was, hey, can we take that deal that you offered at the beginning? And the answer was, hell no. You're going to plead guilty to everything, and you're going to pay $32,000 to these women for all that they did. And, you know, but I think what's happening is people are beginning, and that people means everybody, legislatures, cops, prosecutors, and jurors, that this is really unacceptable behavior, and some of the worst examples also involve much worse behavior towards people.
Well, it's a big deal, and it, like I said, if you really want to get people upset, all you have to do is because animals are just defenseless. And
anyway. Do people have the same kind of reaction to child abuse?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Elderly abuse.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
The vulnerable victims.
Yeah.
Is. Oh, yeah.
Josh, we could do several shows on this subject, but we're only a minute and a half away from having to get out of here. But I want to get your comment about this so-called suicide by cops. Is that something that you have seen?
We see it all over the United States.
Really?
What that means is people who put themselves deliberately in situations where either because they just can't bring to do it or sometimes actually religious reasons, they want the police to kill them. So that they engage in extremely hazardous behavior where they know officers are going to be required to make an armed response, and they actually try to provoke the police into killing them, which is extraordinarily dangerous for everybody, including the police. Nobody wants to shoot somebody. It's a whole separate, very, very scary thing, and it happens all over the United States.
Alex, in this case, this guy had a knife to his own throat and was threatening to I guess, stab himself, and the police were talking him out of that. And then he said, just kill me or shoot me.
Yes, he was asking the police to shoot him.
And the police, which to their credit, tasered him.
Yes, they were able to go ahead and subdue him and get him down and make the arrest. Yes,
sir. Very interesting. Josh, it's always a pleasure, sir. We'll let you go back to bed.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
See you, Josh.
And Ray, we'll see you in a week.
Okay, Jack.